This is the IBJ podcast for the week of December 21st, 2020. Brought to you by the law firm Krieg DeVault. I'm Mason King.
Well, it was a complete team win, start to finish. Played really, really well, but this football team responded.
Recruits, come play for this man. Best coach in America.
Yeah, I just love this football team.
Hey,
yeah, man.
Right here. Best coach in the nation right here, man. Let's go.
Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. That was Indiana University football coach Tom Allen getting some love from his players after the win against Wisconsin this fall. I don't know much about college football, but it sure sounds like fun playing for Tom Allen. Of course, winning can lift your spirits. Consider this. The Hoosiers are 6-1 in the Big Ten this season. If you want to look back to last season, they're 11-3 in their last 14 Big Ten games. That is an incredible feat for a team that historically has been the Big Ten's doormat. The Hoosiers were in the midst of another turnaround during the 2016 season when head coach Kevin Wilson resigned under a cloud of suspicion. That typically is the case when you resign before a scheduled bowl game, the school's first since 2007. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star reported that Wilson twice had been investigated by you, at least the first of which was for alleged mistreatment of injured players, and some players went public with related stories. Tom Allen, who was in his first year as defensive coordinator, was named head coach on December 1st, 2016. You certainly could have interpreted IU's move as a defensive play, retaining a known quantity to keep the team together while acting as a palate cleanser for the program. And Allen seemed relentlessly positive. He is relentlessly positive. He talked about the virtues of love in building a football program. In fact, he installed as the team's mantra the acronym LEO, L-E-O, which stands for Love Each Other. And to be fair, the job he did in 1 year as defensive coordinator was miraculous. The defense took big strides in nearly every major statistical category. And since Allen's contract made him the lowest paid head coach in the Big Ten, it didn't seem like IU had a lot to lose by giving him a shot. Well, 4 years later, the Hoosiers are 6-1. They are ranked 7th in the nation. It is weird even to say that. They're a virtual lock for a bowl game. Allen is in the conversation for National Coach of the Year after winning Big Ten Coach of the Year. And IU finds itself in the unenviable position that Butler basketball found itself in with Brad Stevens and then Chris Holtman, young coaches who overachieved and were hotly pursued for jobs that offered more money, more visibility, and more prestige. At the end of last season, IU rewarded Allen with a 7-year contract extension and a big pay upgrade. But as IBJ's Anthony Shutley reports this week, it still isn't the going rate for a young, transformational coach in college football. The big question for IU right now isn't whether it gets into a bowl game or whether it wins the bowl game. It's how can IU hold on to Tom Allen? Anthony is our guest this week for the IBJ podcast. Let's see what he has to say. As always, I'm pleased to welcome back to the IBJ podcast virtual studio, Anthony Shutley. How's it going?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Let's just dive right into it. How much of a risk is there right now of losing Tom Allen? Is he being pursued for other jobs?
Well, that's two questions. So to answer the second question first, 100% he's being recruited for other jobs. My sources tell me 100% his agent has heard from headhunters and athletic directors across the country. You know, sources are telling us that very high-profile programs, in fact, University of Tennessee, Auburn University, and even the University of Michigan have made contact with Allen's agent. So the first question that you asked was, is there a risk in losing Tom Allen? So, of course, yes. I don't think any human on the face of the planet or any football coach on the face of the planet, college football coach, is going to turn down a request to talk by those blue-chip programs. So, yes, there is a risk of losing Tom Allen. And, you know, as I chronicled in my story that appears in the print IBJ this week, those athletic departments have enormous budgets, three, four, five, six times the size of IU's budget. And so they can offer a lot of money. But the ace in the hole is, you know, that Tom Allen is an Indiana guy. He's a Newcastle native. And the Indiana University head coaching job has been his dream job for some years. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Well, let's say I'm University of Tennessee and I want to make a coaching change. I want to hire Alan. Is it going to be as simple for me just to call him up and say, hey, have you thought about Tennessee? And by the way, we're going to mail you an $8 million check. Or are there some other impediments right now to hiring him?
So the way that this works is, and you may be alluding to his buyout, which I will get to in a second, but I just want to give the listeners a quick kind of pull back the curtain here and how this works. An athletic director decides he's got problems in his program. And usually that determination is made by mid-season a lot of times, but certainly this late in the season, they've made that determination. And before they hire their coach, they will have an intermediary generally, and sometimes themselves, contact the coach's agent. Now, the coach may or may not know about it. That's the agent's job, right, to kind of keep him buffered from this sort of thing when he's supposed to be concentrating on his job at hand. And Tom Allen still has a big job. He's, you know, being slated for a New Year's Day bowl game here. So that's how that works. And I have been, you know, like I said, I have been told by good sources that agents have contacted, athletic directors and headhunters have contacted Allen's agent. And to just kind of give you some idea, I had a former coach last week tell me that, you know, an athletic director contacted him through his agent and said, you know, we want to hire you for our coaching vacancy. And the source told me that, well, you've already got a coach. The athletic director told them basically that, no, that guy is short-lived. He doesn't know it yet, but he's short-lived, and we kind of need to get this search on the road before in fact, we even fire the guy. You know, you don't fire your coach, and then all of a sudden, maybe you're empty, right? You come up empty-handed. So you find the replacement, and then you let the guy know. And that's the same thing in business. I mean, executives listening to this know that, right? You get your ducks in a row, and then you fire your guy. That's how it works, as cruel as that sounds. Now, the impediment that you're talking about is the buyout clause. So every college coach has a buyout clause, right? You sign, you know, in Tom Allen's case, at the end of last year, outgoing athletic director Fred Glass signed to a 7-year, $27.3 million contract. In order for a coach to get out of that contract, he's got to pay the school, his employer, a sum of money, a lump sum of money. Usually the school, let's just say for, you know, sake of a conversation here, that, you know, school X wants to hire Tom Allen. Well, then school X would understand, and Allen's agent would make him understand, that they are the ones going to pay that buyout. In Tom Allen's case, it's a little bit of a complicated buyout that they wrote into this. And I imagine Fred Glass, who's an attorney for many years, probably had a hand in this. If he buys it out by a certain date in 2021, then the either Allen or the school that hires him has to pay 100% of his remaining contract. So at this point, that would be stiff. That would be up to $27 million. They'd have to pay IU to get Allen to come and work for them.
Yeah, and that's on top of whatever salary that they would pay him.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. So that payment goes straight to the school, Indiana University. And that degrades over time. As the contract gets shorter, the buyout gets smaller too. So that's basically how that works. Now, to contrast that to the buyout Allen had a couple years ago. I mean, you could have got Allen for a cup of coffee and a Big Mac sandwich for a couple years ago. I'm being a little facetious, but a couple of $1 million buyout would have got you Tom Allen. That's an indication of how much his stock has risen. Mm-hmm. And by the way, as far as I know, I've been around for half a century plus, no IU football coach has ever really been recruited. I mean, this has never been an issue. I mean, the buyout contract would have been the last thing you would have been thinking about in most cases with IU football coaches. That's one of the issues that Tom Allen faces. You know, the IU job has been a dead-end job. Every single person there almost in recent history has been fired from the job. There's no upward mobility in the job. It's a tough gig. Now, he's made it work short-term. Whether he can do that long-term, whether he wants to swim upstream long-term, is anybody's guess.
So he had the bump to his contract last year. He's making about 3.7, 3.9?
Yeah, it'll escalate up a little bit. But this year he clocked in for $3.77 million. It's okay. Tough to be Tom Allen.
Right, exactly.
But there's context there, which I think
yeah.
You're
saying. Yeah, it sounds like a lot of money, but this is not a lot of money in the world of the Big Ten. How does this compare to how other Big Ten coaches are paid?
Tom Allen is the 13th highest paid coach in the 14-team Big Ten. For comparison's sake, his $3.77 million is less than half of what Jim Harbaugh, the coach of Michigan, makes. Now, Jim Harbaugh is the top-rated the highest paid coach this year anyway. But, you know, for, you know, a better comparison perhaps would be to produce Jeff Brohm. Tom Allen's making $3.77 million this year. Jeff Brohm's making $4.8 million. You know, you can see that Tom Allen's agent has some work to do. I mean, this is the time, you know, he is really, it just sounds so bizarre to say this about the IU football coach, but he is one of the hottest coaching candidates in the nation right now, if not the hottest. So his people are going to be eager to renegotiate that contract after this year.
What are the possibilities that IU is going to be willing to sit down with those guys at the end of the season and renegotiate the contract?
They're probably going to have to do it before that. You know, it would be nice. I'm sure they'd like to. Hey, let's wrap up the season then talk. But the fact is, Allen's agent is fielding offers now. So my guess is between, you know, now that the old Oaken Bucket game has been canceled, they're probably getting into that. You do that between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the – before the bowl game. You know, you get that signed, sealed, delivered. So right before the bowl game, you come out with this big announcement like they did last year. He's been re-signed. Hands off, people. Get away.
Okay, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This is the IBJ Podcast.
The IBJ Podcast is brought to you by Krieg DeVault, a trusted and dynamic law firm representing a wide variety of local, regional, and national clients. Committed to each other and to every client, Krieg DeVault prides itself on integrity, professionalism, respect, and excellence. Financial institutions, global manufacturers, national healthcare providers, and successful organizations of all sizes and market focus rely on Krieg DeVault to create innovative and successful business solutions. Connect today at www.kriegdevault.com.
All right, we're back with this week's edition of the IBJ Podcast. I'm talking with IBJ's Anthony Shutley about whether Indiana University will be able to hold on to football coach Tom Allen after an amazing turnaround.
What would you say is his market value? I mean, do you have any sense of where he would rank at this point when he's drifting off to sleep and he's thinking, well, what could I get? What is he probably thinking?
You know, we're all walking on Mars here. I mean, this is uncharted territory. He could certainly command what Pat Fitzgerald is making, the coach of Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald made $5.22 million. Probably more than that. This is getting kind of crazy because, you know, the next bump up would be Ryan Day, the head coach of Ohio State, who's making about $5.8 million this year. So, I mean, I don't think that is unrealistic. And just for context, you know, Indiana University has been one of the few colleges or universities in a Power Five conference who in recent years have made more money on their basketball program from their football program. Now, that started to come around, but if you look at their attendance, now, obviously, they haven't had any attendance this year because of COVID, but, you know, in years past, they haven't even come close to selling out Memorial Stadium, which seats 53,000. They're usually in the 40-something range, and some years they've been in the 30-something range. And, you know, recently retired IU AD Fred Glass had said, if with Tom Allen in there, they can sell out Memorial Stadium, they can drop a quick $10 million to the bottom line. So, you know, it doesn't take a molecular biologist to sit here and tell you that, you know, Tom Allen's agent's going to kind of see the writing on the wall there. And to ask for another $2 million a year when you can realistically bring in, you know, we're just talking about simple money there. We're just talking about ticket revenue. Now, you talk about driving money through your wealthy alums, there's much, much more inventory to do that. Not even wealthy alums. I mean, you know, we're talking semi-wealthy alums. People who want to sit at good seats at a football ticket, you can, or you know, get into a suite, you can really drive a lot more money through your football stadium than you can through your basketball arena. But at IU, there's so much room for growth that having a guy like Tom Allen, the value is hard to calculate, and that's the scary part, Mason. IU needs Tom Allen right now a lot more than Tom Allen needs IU. Any employer will tell you, any executive will tell you, that's a bad place to be. I was talking to IU Athletic Director Scott Dolson about, you know, the marketability of Tom Allen and kind of what he brings to the table. You know, if you've seen this guy on the sideline or in interviews, he's very dynamic. You know, he's run with this mantra, love each other, or LEO, which the players and the fans have really gravitated to. And I think Scott Dolson and his staff are just now getting a handle on how to market that. I mean, there's a whole merchandise line that could be marketed. And really, I suspect that Tom Allen and IU are going to have to kind of some kind of agreement in terms of who's going to get rights to some of this stuff. Because I think there would be a huge demand if you came out with an LEO line of goods right now. Now, it's a niche. It's a niche. You know, not right now anyway. Although IU has a huge alumni base, coast to coast. Let's keep that, you know, you got to keep that in mind. If you start looking at alumni bases, IU has a huge, huge alumni base coast to coast. So it's not a teeny tiny market. You know, it's easy to think that this is some hillbilly from Newcastle, you know, coming out of the cornfields, but it's not. This is a guy with some pretty serious coaching chops. He's been around for 28 years. He's coached at the high school and the college level. He's coached down in Florida. And he's coached, obviously, in Indiana, Wabash College, Ben Davis, Marion High School. Not only does he have the respect of coaches, high school coaches, he's also got the ear of recruits. You know, his starting quarterback, Michael Penix, is a five-star guy out of Florida. The second-string quarterback, Jack Tuttle, who nobody knew until, you know, 2 weeks ago, is a four-star recruit out of California. He does have some Indiana connections, but still, you're pulling guys from both coasts. That gravitational pull is really, I would say, unparalleled in the history of the university. So, you know, not only – and I don't know, you know, if you saw the game at Wisconsin game, the post-game interview – that Allen was doing, you know, he was doing a national TV spot on ABC post game, and his players just came in totally, totally ad lib, were hugging him, saying, "We love this guy," and was looking in the camera and saying, "Hey, recruits, come play for this guy. This is a player's coach. This is where you want to be." Like, what? Like, this is marketing gold. I mean, I'm sure a lot of universities, big football universities, would like to have that. A lot of coaches have experienced a lot of success, but a lot of coaches have not experienced that kind of love. Something to be said for that.
What has Allen said about his willingness to stay at IU, or does he even broach the subject or answer those kind of questions?
You know, he really hasn't addressed it, nor would he address it during the middle of a season. I mean, you know, Allen is nothing if he's not a class act. Last year when he got his extension, of course, he said he is committed to IU for the long term. Anybody who knows Tom Allen will tell you he's a genuine guy. He's got a close relationship with Fred Glass. He's got a close relationship with Scott Dolson. He said last year that, quote unquote, he wants to be at IU for a long, long time. I take him at his word. Sources have told me that has been his dream job for a while. He is a native Hoosier. This year, he'll tell you that he's focused on this year and committed to IU, period, in a simple way. A lot of coaches have said that over the years about their schools. And a lot of coaches have turned around and left. We'll see what happens.
What do you think, given IU's history, I don't know, of underfunding maybe underfunding is the best way to put it. It's football programs. What are the chances that it would be able to come up with another $10 million a year?
They could come up with it. Good Lord, Bryn Simon could come up with it. I mean, really, seriously. I mean, you know, Bart Kaufman could come up with it. I mean, the IU's got, believe you me, I mean, hey, the owner of the IBJ, Mickey Maurer, could probably come up with it. You know, I mean, there's a lot of IU alums who got a lot of coin. The issue is bigger than that. And Fred Glass has kind of made a sea change now at Indiana University. For many, many years, IU has made no commitment to football. Now, I don't know the reasons for that. And they've operated their athletic department on the cheap. Fred Glass himself and now Scott Dolson are among the lowest paid athletic directors in the Big Ten. You know, the history is clear that you know, Bob Knight, love him or hate him, was underpaid for years, and he allowed that to happen. And maybe that was the genesis of this whole thing. Bob Knight gave IU a heavy discount in the same way that Tom Brady gave the New England Patriots a heavy discount for a lot of years. Maybe that colored the athletic department in a way that really long-term wasn't great. Hardly less than a decade ago, IU was paying its football coach $200,000 a year. Now, that's a lot of money to a guy like me, but, you know, come on, get serious. Their infrastructure, their facilities were way, 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 way outdated. And Fred Glass came in. They put over $100 million into that football facility, including upgrades to the training table, which is the dietary program, to the weight room, to the training facilities, all the things that matter to the athletes, football and basketball both. But on the football side, they made a huge, huge investment in that stadium. And just last year, they – as part of increasing Tom Allen's pay, Fred Glass smartly increased the budget for assistant coaches. That's critical. You know, as an example, you know, last year they hired away a strength and conditioning coach from the NFL's Detroit Lions, paid the guy $700,000 a year. That's a serious commitment. That's what it takes to win. Like, do we want to win or not? You know, that started to become a sea change. That means something, I think, to a guy like Tom Allen. There's been a commitment shown. So last year when Tom Allen was renegotiating his contract with Fred Glass, he looks across the table and says, are you going to be here? Are you going to be here long term? Like, I'm your guy, you're my guy. And Fred at that point knew that he was not, but he hadn't told anybody, not the university president or anybody else. So he said, well, let me get back to you. And so, you know, after apprising his higher up to what was going on, he came back to Coach Allen, told him what the deal was going to be. And he said, this isn't about Fred Glass. This isn't about me. This is about Indiana University and this athletic department and its commitment to football. And so, you know, Tom Allen bought the sale of goods, which I don't say that flippantly, like he was just giving him, you know, selling down the road, but he bought what Fred was selling at the time. And I think there's some validity to that. I mean, I think there have been some changes at IU. Now we're going to see what the temperature is for this thing, because they're partway up the mountain. I don't think anybody thinks IU is at the top of the mountain. I mean, if you saw the Ohio State game, they fought valiantly, but they're not at the top of the heap yet. And so we're going to see what their appetite is for continued spending and continued commitment to the football program.
Why is Tom Allen so good? I mean, we all know about the attitude and the focus on strong culture, but like, what specifically does he have on his resume? What are the bullet points he's putting on his resume, the things that he does to make the team win?
You know, this may sound trite, but Napoleon once said that productivity equals morale times four. You know, I'm not saying that Tom Allen's not an X's and O's guy. He is. I mean, he's a really good defensive coordinator. So I think there's a combination. You've got a guy who's a good defensive coordinator. You've got a guy who knows how to build morale, therefore productivity. And you've got a humble person who's willing to call for help when he needs it, i.e. on the offensive side. You know, you've got a loyal person. You know, when you've got a guy like that, I mean, just think about that for a second. Think about the people in your own life. There's a very small subset of people that are like that. And when you get to the highest level of sport, you know, I think maybe there's even fewer. You know, Fred Glass said the biggest thing was, this guy I could see immediately was a leader of men. And so I really think that that's his strongest asset. And not to say, you know, that doesn't downplay his, you know, X's and O's ability. I think those are all very good. But there's a lot of football eggheads out there. There's lots of them. Lots of guys in film rooms and lots of guys in back rooms and lots of guys drawing up plays. And there's also lots of guys who never had a winning season in football, who had all those attributes. You know, you ask a kind of a difficult question of what the secret sauce is. And I think it's a combination of all those attributes. And probably the biggest attributes are his ability to get guys to pull for him. I don't want to, you know, oversell this thing. I'm not here to tell you that Tom Allen is Newt Rockne. We don't know that yet. I mean, he's had one good year last year and one very good year. Now that doesn't put you in the Hall of Fame, that, you know, but that doesn't even make him the winningest coach in IU history yet. But I mean, it's a start, and I think it's a sign. It's a sign of what he can be.
Yeah, you anticipated, you know, my next question, which is, what are the chances that this is basically a fluke? I mean, that he's a good coach that has benefited from some of the investments that the university have made in the program. But, you know, COVID has put a lot of teams off their game. You know, it's just been a very weird season, and this is just an anomaly.
It has been a weird season. I grant you that. And it is one season. There's no guarantee. What is a guarantee is this guy's track record. He has laid bare his template, and it looks like that you can scale it. I mean, for to use a business term here, right? It looks, you know, the guy can recruit. The guy knows defense. The guy knows how to recruit coaches, because if you've watched IU football, you paid attention. This year and last year, they've lost offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator who were recruited away to be head coaches. I mean, good Lord, when was the last time IU had a coaching tree in football? The answer, never. This is what guys like, you know, formerly Fred Glass and now Scott Dolson get paid for, to evaluate these things. From my mind, and I'm nowhere near a football expert, trust me, but, you know, analytically looking at it, it's plain to see that this guy should be able to repeat his success. It's not like he pulled three rabbits out of the hat and, you know, got these, you know, crazy recruit type guys he's never going to be able to get. For those who follow football recruiting, the number of 5- and 4-star recruits that IU has gotten historically has been minuscule. And, you know, Tom Allen has started to edge that up. Now, look at the number 4- and 5-star recruits on IU's roster. They pale in comparison to those on Ohio State's roster or even Wisconsin's roster or Michigan's roster. That you have to believe that's only going to get better. The talent of the roster is only going to get better. You know, people freak out because the starting quarterback, Michael Penix, is apt to be injury prone. And he's, you know, going to run out of eligibility. I mean, we all remember, you know, when Antoine Randall and some of the other, you know, great, you know, Anthony Thompson left the school. I mean, it was a catastrophe. There's really no reason to believe that Tom Allen can't restock the shelf.
I find myself in the odd situation of being excited about IU football. So,
yeah, a lot of us do. I mean, you know, Scott Dolson, 1988 graduate of IU, had been there for 30 years as an employee. I mean, I can't imagine how excited the guy is. I mean, seen a lot of hard times in IU football. I've been through a lot of coaches. So, yeah, this is pretty exciting for all those in the program.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time today. This has been terrific. The crowd went wild.
You're very welcome, Mason.
My thanks again to Anthony Shutley. Again, you can read his story about Tom Allen in the current issue of IBJ. And I have a quick addendum. Just as I was finishing editing the interview with Anthony on Sunday night, we learned that IU will be going to the Outback Bowl, playing against Ole Miss on January the 2nd. There were some immediate rumblings from the media that IU deserved better than the Outback Bowl, but Coach Allen's official comment was, "It's a tremendous honor to play in the 35th Outback Bowl against a great opponent in Ole Miss." Congratulations and good luck to the Hoosiers. And before you get on with the rest of your week, I want to point out a few more strong stories in the latest issue. Businesses, not-for-profits, schools, and religious organizations soon could be shielded from lawsuits related to COVID-19 infections. Lindsay Airdoty reports that Governor Eric Holcomb and state lawmakers are making a legal shield a priority in the upcoming legislative session, although opponents characterize it as a get-out-of-jail-free card for bad actors. Also in this week's issue, Mickey Shuey tries to get a read on what's next for the $300 million Bottleworks District project on Mass Ave, which has opened its hotel and some office space, but might need to shift gears for Phase 2 due to the pandemic. And Sam Quinn explains how local hotels plan to help house the homeless this winter, as shelters observe strict rules about occupancy during the pandemic. And again, you can find these stories in the latest print edition of IBJ, or online at ibj.com. I will say it's quite a bit easier to access all the latest news and all of IBJ's data on Central Indiana's business community and economy if you're a subscriber. It works out to about $2 per week for actionable information you're not going to find anywhere else. Just go to ibj.com, click on the subscribe button. Thanks again for making time this week for the IBJ podcast. I'm Mason King. Hang in there, everybody, and have a great holiday.